You're live?
Yes, sir.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. We welcome all of our YouTube family as well, all over the world. And I mean that seriously.
YouTube, Rumble, and Instagram.
And now he said we're on Rumble and Instagram. Wow. I'll deal with that later. I have Ryan up here because he looks so sharp today. He's like a outdoorsy farm growing stuff, digging dirt guy. But so it's very rare I get to see him like this.
He looks good.
So I wanted proof on. So Ryan, Minister Ryan.
Amen.
Of the famous men's ministry. Could you pray us in?
Heavenly Father, Lord, Almighty, we come before you this morning.
Yes.
Oh God, we love you. We honor you. Oh Lord, we thank you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you for the gospel that saves us, the grace that saves us by faith, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Oh Lord, we pray that your word would open up now to us. Lord, as you are speaking through Pastor Sandy today, Father God, we thank you for the mighty work that you're about to do. Lord, we pray, God, that the rocks would cry out today, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh Lord, let nothing come in between anyone who's searching for you today. Let them find you today.
Amen.
Oh God, we're praying for the salvation of 1.5 billion people on this planet who are looking for you, who don't even know they should be looking for you. God, open their eyes and grant them repentance. Oh Lord, we love you. We honor you. We adore you. We thank you for the shed blood. Oh God, we thank you for Passover because of our faith and our belief in what you did for us on the cross, Lord. You are going to pass over the sin. You're covering us now. We honor you today. May we be ready to stand before you. Use this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ryan, we are ready to get started. You guys may be seated if you're still standing. I am going to. So how's everybody today?
Yes.
All right. Good. God bless you. You know, I wouldn't normally like never wear a mask, but if what's her name? Incredible and sensational. Miss Unique. Could you come forward? I want the people to see your mask. Because I mean, you know, I don't wear a mask. When I go in the store, I do. But if I was gonna wear a mask, seeing that I'm very cool, I'd wear one like this.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, not just like that. Here, get over here, you can't see you. Look at that. Tell them your name.
My name is Sensational Unique, and I make these masks, and I make the mess masks, and ever since the pandemic, God laid it on my heart to give them away to women and Amen. Put messages from God in there.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Oh, they want to see you on this camera too.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Welcome to
Amen.
Tep TV land. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. Sensational, unique. We forgot to, what's your daughter's name again?
Zoe.
How could I forget Zoe? Zoe, hallelujah. So let's get started in today's word. I'm going to do something. If you have your notes with you today, I'm going to do something. And this is really just to educate all of the people that have just joined the ministry. I've been preaching this since 2000 and maybe 5 or 2006. Trying to warn churches of the the danger of celebrating Ishtar, which is, I mean, which is the name of a goddess that they had these sex rituals with, and then they wanted to honor her as the a goddess, and she was supposed to be the goddess that brought back the spring and made women fertile so that they could have children. So Esther or Ishtar is her name, okay? She has a strong root that goes all the way back to Babylon. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know that, as most churches did in the churches I grew up, there are 11 traditions of worshiping Ishtar, okay? And of the 11 are the Ham and the sunrise service to worship the sun, and the colored eggs, and to bring those to Ishtar so that they can be sacrificed, and which means the children. And all of these things are representation of the festival that most churches are going to celebrate next week, with the pagan customs attached to it. I have a YouTube of three witches celebrating Easter with their children, and the children are painting eggs, and they're doing the same thing that you would see churches do. You know what I mean? So I wanted to know, why are witches celebrating Easter? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you got the little comment section, and I said, why are you guys celebrating Easter? And she said, it was our holiday before it was yours. Ooh. I said, I am corrected. Please don't, no more replies. I don't need to know you. But she was absolutely right. It was their holiday way before it was ours, okay? So Easter is not a Christian holiday, okay? Passover is a Jewish holiday. Kol Habarim BeYisrael, Sameach Pesach. Happy Passover to all my friends in Israel. I want you to know they celebrated on the 14th of Nisan. 3 days after the 14th of Nisan, Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave on the 17th of Nisan, which will be the 31st of this month. I'm praying God is why I found 331. But as you're celebrating this day, remember Easter rarely lands on the same day as Pesach or Passover. It rarely, because they're not even trying to make a point to really celebrate the resurrection of Christ, because they would do it on the day that Christ resurrected, and they would have to go to the Jewish calendar and do that. And so on the Jewish calendar, it would be the 17th of Nisan. On the 14th of Nisan would be the day that he died on the cross. But you never know when Easter is going to be, because they understood that they're not celebrating this as a Christian holiday when it began. It's a holiday to celebrate Ishtar. There's a place called Ishtar Island that was wiped out by God, but all the statues are still there. And I think they were sacrificing children on that island, but I know it got wiped out. All of a sudden it was like, only thing left was a statue, and all the people were gone, you know? So whatever God did with that, I don't know. But let's go, let's look at our notes, because I'm going to read through them real fast. This is not our message, but I have to have you educated, because I don't want you putting a three-piece suit on your son and making him find eggs like I had to do when I was young, because it's hot in April. Got my Easter suit on, and I'm looking for eggs, and I get a dollar if I find them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where this tradition? As a kid, I'm like, this ain't a cool tradition. Can't you just give me a dollar? Okay, let's read here. The English word comes from the Anglo-Saxon Istra or Istara, a Teutonic goddess to whom sacrifice was offered in April. So the name was transferred to Pesach feast, which Pesach is Passover. The name was transferred over to the Passover feast. And it said Easter comes from a pagan figure called Estra or Eostra, and these are different languages, who was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of northern Europe. Long before, number two, long before the time of Christ, pagan goddess Ishtar, or sometimes known as Astarte or Ashtoreth, and you can find that in the Book of Kings, was worshipped in different countries. The modern practice of sunrise worship originated from the pagan festival honoring Ishtar. I mean, I wish they'd at least changed the name. I mean, churches still put the big sign up there, come have Ishtar Sunday with us. And, you know, so God had me do a whole study on this. And I gave a copy to all of the churches, and I thought, you know, maybe they would say, thank you, we didn't know that, but some of them were kind of mad I let them know. So, number three, the origin of Easter has 11 traditions from ancient pagan culture. Why 11, you guys? Original 11 is a 6 in Hebrew, I mean in the gematria which they use. Easter was originally the celebration of Ishtar, a Syrian Babylonian goddess, fertility and sex. After Constantine became a Christian or Christianized the empire, Easter was changed to represent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, the Passover and Easter rarely land on the same day. Okay? So Constantine, if you don't know who he was a king, and he asked God to win this war, and he put a cross. God told him to fight in the name of the cross. He fought in the name of the cross. Now, Constantine before that was feeding Christians to lions. So I'm sure all the Christians were appreciative that Constantine became a Christian. But when Constantine became a Christian, he demanded that the whole empire be Christian, but they didn't have to get rid of their Babylonian beliefs. They just had to mix them in with Babylonian and Christian. So that's where you get the Pergamos church in the book of Revelation, which is called a defiled church, a mixed marriage. Okay? In 1 Kings 11:5, it says, and Solomon went after the Ashtoreth goddess of Zidonis and after the Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. So that was one of the gods that Solomon began to worship, was the goddess Easter. And so this was one of the reasons why God was being angry. He was marrying these women and he was getting involved with their gods. And one of them was Easter. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 through 21, and you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had born to me, and these sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them unto the offering by fire to them? And the goddess that they were offering their children to was Ishtar, okay? Because during the ritual, if someone should be pregnant during the ritual, they counted it as a blessing from God, but that child had to go back to Ishtar for sacrifice. So understand, it is rooted in, and all of the 11 customs are rooted in paganism, okay? So make sure that, and I'll, let me see here. Oh yeah, I have it. Here it is. Go to the next page. Sorry, you guys in school on Sunday, but we got to do it. The Hebrew name, you see this rabbit here? See that bunny rabbit? That is a star constellation. It's just like the star constellation of the lamb, the star constellation of the lion. There's a star constellation that has, of the 48 star constellations, there's one that is a rabbit. The Hebrew name for this star constellation is Arnabo, which means the enemy of him that cometh. And the one that's coming is Christ. In the Arab, it's called Sugia, which means the deceiver. So the rabbit represents the enemy, or Satan representing the enemy of God in the star constellation. If you see that guy's foot is, that is, I forget the constellation, but he's about to stomp on the head of the enemy of God, and which is a representation of Satan. So do you think that they chose the rabbit because it was cute, or if it has 11 traditions, which represents 666, or is he having the rabbit because it represents Satan? It represents Satan, so that's why they have the rabbit for the holiday that the pagans do. Okay, so Easter is a pagan holiday. It has morphed its way into Christianity. It was originally a holiday of fertility goddess Ashtoreth, Diana of Ephesus, and in the book of Acts. And rabbits are the notorious breeding, hence the Easter bunny. The 11 traditions of Easter are dying eggs, the Easter bunny, the hollow chocolate bunny, the Easter basket, hot cross buns, the Easter fashion.
Parade?
It looks like parades. Yeah, Easter fashion parades, and the sunrise service turning east so you can worship the sun, Ra, and the Easter ham, the Good Friday kit. I want you guys to know that Jesus did not die on a Friday, okay? So get out of here with the Good Friday thing. Egg knocking, I'd have to explain that to you, and oyster bun, which is a statue that they set up in the town to so that they could go and bow down to Easter. Okay, so I wanted you to have this because, and I don't want you guys to do this. Somebody comes to you and go, "Happy Easter," and you go, "Easter is a pagan holiday, get out of my face." That's not why I'm telling you this, okay? I'm telling you this so that you are educated in yourself. If they want to know, if they don't, that's okay. If they say Happy Easter to you, just say Happy Resurrection Day. Or, you know what I mean? We don't do things out of hate. We do things out of love, right? So you don't have to put them in check. You don't have to do any of that. But I just want the church to know that it is not a godly thing to do. And all that, those traditions are not from God. They are from a pagan root, okay?
Amen.
Now, let's continue on. I have other notes. Okay. I don't know if I need that. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 12, it is the beginning of the story of the Hebrew people leaving Egypt. They've been in slavery for quite some time, and they're about to leave Egypt. They have seen 10 plagues telling the Pharaoh to let the Hebrew people leave. And so now these 10 plagues are the 10 gods that Egypt worshiped. And so now they're getting down to the last god that they worship. And the last god that they worship was Amun-Ra, which was I would say 10-foot statue of a lamb with the Pharaoh standing in front of the lamb, okay? So in my Egyptology, I immediately wanted to know why they were worshiping a lamb. Well, in the star constellation, they saw a lamb, and this lamb was born to a woman, and this lamb was going to die and then rise up and become king of the whole world. And the lamb in the star constellation was also telling them was the creator of all things. And so Egypt stole from the constellations, or the Maturoth, and made their god Amon-Ra, which was the sun god with the large lamb and the Pharaoh standing in front of it. And if you go on any archives, you can see it, okay? So they're worshiping a lamb, and God has got to put in their minds the statue of a lamb is not God. Now, granted, if you lived in Egypt and you saw a lamb walking down the street, you had better not touch it because it was illegal. And I'll let you guys borrow my Egyptology book, but it's kind of crazy. But they were telling them, if you touch a lamb, you are punishable by death, because a lamb was God to them, okay? Like in India, like the cows to them, right? So it was illegal to touch a lamb. It was illegal. You definitely couldn't have one as a pet. So the lambs were precious to Egypt. God wanted to show them that a lamb is not God. So what do you think he does for the last plague that he puts upon Egypt? He says, every Hebrew, go and grab a lamb and bring it to your house. Fricassee it. That's a fancy word for barbecue. Cook it. Okay. Now, understand this. Once they grab the lamb, we're going to look at this. Let's read in Exodus chapter 12. Okay. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of each month, a man is to take a lamb for his family and one for his household. Okay? Take a lamb for his family, one for his household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Okay? So he's telling them on the 10th of Nisan to go out and grab a lamb. Now, this is just common sense. If I'm Jewish, you can convince me about Christ right here. They went out on the 10th day of Nisan and grabbed a lamb. What day do you think Jesus arrived in Jerusalem riding on the donkey? 10th of Nisan. So now he tells them, if you go down to verse 6, take care of them, what, the lambs, until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So now, when did Jesus die? On the 14th of Nisan, and he died at twilight. So if I'm Jewish and I'm reading the Old Testament, I'm like, wait a minute. This, what Jesus did, is the same thing as what we did to the lamb when we were coming out of Egypt. And then now it tells you this. It says, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and the top of the door frame of the house where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire along with bitter herbs. The bitter herbs for the toil that they've gone through, and bread made without yeast. Because when Jesus is the bread of life, but he has no yeast because he has no sin. So this whole thing about them coming out of Egypt is to tell them about a future lamb that's going to come and enter in Jerusalem on the 10th. The Pharisees are going to examine him for 4 days, and then they're going to crucify him on the fourth day, on the 14th. And then 3 days later, he resurrects, and Jesus Christ is back alive, unlike the other lamb. But Jesus Christ resurrects, and then now this becomes the celebration of resurrection. Is the resurrection celebrated by Jews? No. No Jew is celebrating the 17th of Nisan, but every born-again Christian is celebrating the 17th of Nisan, because on the 17th of Nisan, which is this March 30th and 31st, is the day that Jesus resurrected and victory was made for all of us. You have eternal life because Jesus resurrected, okay? It's a beautiful thing that he died and he took our punishment and he paid for all of our sins. But if he doesn't resurrect, we're in trouble. So on the 17th of Nisan, Jesus Christ resurrects, and now you have this scenario where they have come out of Egypt, and this is called the Passover, okay? Now, there's blood on three places on the door. Where was the blood on Jesus when he was on the cross? Hand, feet, three places of blood. You understand? So this is a whole story. Every detail about the lamb dying is telling you about a future lamb going to die on the cross. Even they say that when you take the lamb, if I read further, he will say, make sure as you're cooking this lamb that you don't break any of his bones. Because Jesus is going to be on the cross. And they said, go and break the bones, because the way they stayed alive was to use their legs to push up so that they can get some air, and then they would relax and then still survive for a little while. But then they start suffocating again, and so they used their legs to push up, even though they had nails in them, but it was worse than dying, so they would push up and then they could get a little air. Well, it was getting close to Passover evening, and they didn't want someone to be hanging on the cross on a high holy day. So the guard says, go and break their legs to make sure so that this doesn't last out to the high holy day. They get to Christ, and what do they say? He's already dead. We don't have to break his legs. They were already dead. He's already dead. So God made sure that Jesus died before any bone was broken. Okay, so the lamb has no bones broken. He's got blood on three spots. He comes in. He arrives on the 10th. He gets crucified on the 14th. And everything is about the Passover. Okay.
Amen.
And this is what gives you salvation. Now, the incredible thing, one of the incredible things is that in the book of John, he says, the Apostle John sees Jesus coming into town, and he stands up and shouts out what? Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, that would mean nothing to us if we don't read the Old Testament. But he's now presenting Christ to everyone, letting him know this is the Lamb. Every Jew right there should have known. The only thing we use lambs for is the sacrifice on the Passover. What is this guy talking about? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His resurrection pushed us into a relationship. Now, did God have to do this? Did God have this? You are God's creation. He can say, well, forget it, because he almost did it with Moses. Let me tell you something. Moses forgot to circumcise his child. And the Bible says God was getting ready to kill him. You guys will read it yourself. Said God was going to kill him. And his wife took a knife and circumcised the child herself, because it was past the eighth day and Moses hadn't circumcised the child. And it says, so God was angry and was about to kill him, but his wife took the knife and did the right thing. And she said, you are blood covenant to Moses, because she had to do that. So I want you to know and understand something. When God gives a command, he's telling you to do it for a reason, because on the eighth day, every male child is to be circumcised. You understand? Because 8 is the new beginning. And Jesus Christ's name is 888. So he is the new beginning. So the new beginning for us was Jesus resurrecting from the ground.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to the Gospel of John before we get into this other topic that the Lord wants me to get into today. You in John chapter 1? Amen. This is the simple, most beautiful scripture. And what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was
God.
Wait a minute. First it says, and the Word was with God. Then it says, and the word, read that. Can God put it any more simple than that? Okay. And the word was God. Okay. He was with God in the beginning. Go down to verse 14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Wait a minute. If the word was God and the word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us, that means that God came down to be our Savior. So then why is it that Christians are the only people that believe that Jesus is God? Because when you say, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe he's God, you haven't believed in Jesus.
Amen.
Because you must confess that Jesus is what? Lord. But that word in the Greek is what? God. You can't confess that he's a prophet, as they had me do when I was deceived into Islam. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was a great prophet. You know, dumb me at 19 started saying, well, you know, Jesus was a great prophet. I should have had a tooth missing and then goofy. Jesus was a great prophet. And I just start saying that to everybody. He was a wonderful prophet. Because if you don't know the word of God and you don't know what the deceptions are, you'll fall into anything. You understand?
Yeah.
And so they wanted to convince me that Jesus Christ was just one of the prophets. But I began reading the Bible. And I began reading the Quran. Because I said, before I make a real decision, I love the new name, but before I make a real decision, I need to read this book. And then I read that Jesus never died on the cross. And they put an imposter up there. And anybody who doubts this is fooling themselves. In the Quran. Okay, I still got that Quran. I crossed out holy and put unholy. But I keep it because I want people to know that scripture is in the Quran. That says Jesus never died on the cross. So if he never died, he never resurrected. That means you're still in your sins. So you have to understand what deception is, okay? I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Because I truly believe Dan Matson put out a thing about the signs of the end, according to what the world is looking like right now. We all know that we're living in the end times. We all know what's going on. You see the new Nike tennis shoe? Y'all didn't see that? What is it? What do they call it? The Satan shoe or what?
What?
Yeah, they said they're going. No. They say they're only going to make 666 copies.
No.
They got a drop of blood in the sole.
Yeah, they have a drop of blood in the sole of them. Yeah, human blood in the shoe. So they want you to know how they made it, and then they got this little satanic rapper, and he's doing advertisement for them. And so I want you to understand something. They're so close to the end, they don't care if you know.
No, they don't.
They're like, we don't care. Look, if we cared, Hillary would be in jail. If we cared, all this stuff that you know, people would be getting in trouble. But we know we ain't going to get in trouble. We're in control of everything. So we don't even care if you know we're worshiping Satan now. Okay? So you guys have to understand the days and times you're living in and understand what God has done for you. Okay? We should have a weekly dance-off just to celebrate the fact that we saved.
Amen.
But it's not a reality to you. Now, if it was up to me, we'd have a weekly dance-off. And we'd celebrate that Jesus is Lord for at least an hour. Just moving. But it has to be a reality to you, what God has done for you. You understand? You are saved. Rapture, it's a done deal. You understand? It's a done deal. You're going to a wedding. You're going to be taken up. That's a done deal. God spoke it. It's already a done deal. Okay?
Yeah.
You're home in heaven. Done deal. You're reigning and ruling with Christ for 1,000 years. Done deal. What's not done? Your present war. And since you're in a present war, I think, personally, is what Satan would say, I think I can still get you. Because personally, I just think that people are really smart and they won't fall for things.
Yeah.
Satan goes, you have no idea. I've been doing this for 6,000 years. They're not that smart. I'm going to keep bringing them new lies and new lies and new lies until I see which one they fall for.
Amen.
Okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Okay? So God wants you to study. Okay? Now, he wants you to study to show who approved?
Thyself.
Thyself approved. God is not interested in you checking people. You understand? I'm studying so I can be a better Christian than you, that I can check people on scripture whenever opportunity I get and make sure that they know I am master of the Bible. No, that's not why. Study to show who approved?
Thyself.
This is a personal relationship between you and God. Okay? Because when somebody asks you about your faith, you're going to say, well, you know, my religion teaches me that Jesus is not God. So I don't really want to go to your church. And they say, well, then show me that Jesus is God. You just read John chapter 1, right? You can take them to that. Why? Because you've read it, you studied it. But if you don't know that scripture, you just believing, but you have no knowledge of what you believe in.
Right.
So God wants you to have knowledge about what you believe in. So when you say, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. From that word dividing, a whole cult has emerged. Do you know that?
Yes.
There's a cult that now says that everyone needs to learn how to divide the word of God, because when it says divide, it means that some of the Bible is not for Christians, and some of the Bible is just for Jews, and the part that Paul preaches is just for Christians, and the part that the other apostles preach was just for the Jews. And you've got to distinguish which book is for who. Then you will know how to rightfully divide the word of God. They got members. Okay? A guy that used to be a part of this church online came at me one time with some once saved, always saved stuff. And I said, dude, get away from me with that foolishness. Once you accept Christ, take up your cross and follow him. It does not say don't take up your cross, just do your thing. Right? Take up your cross and follow him. So I immediately blocked him because I sensed he might be trying to bring some wrong information, and putting it on my page is going to make other people think that they can live in sin and still go to heaven. And I didn't want them believing that. Now they're going around a whole thing and they're saying all the Bible is not meant for Christians. Paul talked about grace because all Christians are saved by grace and grace alone. I want you to know grace and grace alone is not in the Bible,
right.
Nor is eternal security. Those are two things that do not exist in the Bible, okay? So because God knows that once you come into a relationship, any relationship, you're going to have some responsibilities in the relationship. And Jesus says, this is the covenant in my blood. And he provided it for us on Passover. But this is a covenant, meaning that you have a portion to fulfill and I have a portion to fulfill. Okay? Even Abraham, who has the best covenant of all, God told him that to obey what he says. He says, if you obey. So everybody has a portion to play in a covenant, okay? But they're using this, dividing the word, to say that most of the Bible is not for you. So I guess Isaiah 53 is not for Christians? Isaiah 53 has to be for Christians. Mm-hmm. But they say the whole Old Testament is not for Christians at all. There's no reason for us to read that. So now we got a whole group of Christians that refuse to read the Old Testament because what? They're rightfully dividing the word. Okay. And they told them this. The four Gospels are not for Christians.
Really?
That is, those four books are for Jewish people. Only the books of Paul are for Christians. And they're following it, okay? And he has a video out now. 87,000 subscribers. And I'm thinking to myself, nobody will fall for this. They started this win back in 2017. I thought, nobody will fall for this. This is so stupid. But Satan always like, yeah, you don't know. I've been doing this a long time, okay? So he's still after your salvation. And part of your salvation is this. Please listen to me. If you become a Christian and you become unfaithful to God, does God become unfaithful to you? No. He does not become unfaithful to you. You know what? He organized a plan to get you back. A strategic plan. His whole mindset goes out in, I've lost the lamb that went outside of the gate. My whole concept, if I got to go out and retrieve that lamb and bring him back. Okay? So when you're unfaithful, God is faithful. I'm a living witness of that. Okay? But when you live in an unfaithful state, you're not going to live a blessed life. Okay? We're supposed to live in holiness.
Amen.
So I looked up the word and I sent it to this guy, and the Greek word for dividing is orthotomio, which means to cut a straight line, to cut straightway, to proceed straight on a path, to hold a straight course, to do right, to make straight and smooth, to handle in righteousness, to teach truth directly and correctly. That's what the word means. It means to stay on the straight and narrow line that God has already written in the Bible. It does not tell you to find another way of dealing with your sin. Because, listen, you guys are young. I don't know how you're doing in your walk, but let me tell you, I was always trying to figure out how I could sin and still be a Christian when I was young. Because my friends were doing things and it seemed like they were having fun. And I was doing things. And then I'm like, I got to repent, but they never have to repent. Yeah, but you don't know what they're in. They're on their way to hell. But they never have to repent. So it appeared to me that they were having more fun than me. So I'm always trying to figure out which is what this guy was. His name was Chris. And what he did was he was asking me questions because he was struggling with something. And so since he was struggling with it, he, instead of sanctifying himself and praying about it and desiring to overcome that sin, he found someone that agreed with him that sin doesn't matter because you're already saved. And so now he's on this thing and he's doing a 1-hour special with a guy that's teaching him the new doctrine of dividing the scriptures so that you don't have to worry about your sin anymore. Okay? That is deception. Because I laughed at Satan when somebody told me about black Hebrew Israelites. It's like, you got to be kidding. Nobody's going to believe that. Black people are the original Hebrews. Genesis chapter 10 gives you a list of all the races throughout the whole world. And so you know where all the black people are, and you know the separation between Shem and the separation between Ham. So we already know. So I thought nobody would fall for that. But now we have this whole clique called black Hebrew Israelites all over the world. And they hate Jews, and they say they look horrible people, and we got to get them out of our land. It's like, your land is Africa. No, they think it's Israel, right? And they cry saying, oh, these people are just taking over our land and we're supposed to be there. I never thought black people would fall for that. But Satan's been deceiving for a long time. And this is what you need to know. He knows you live in your body, and he knows your body wants to sin. Even if your brand new spirit does it, like, I love Jesus. Your body is like, I don't. I want to do some things.
Right.
And if we get rid of this Jesus thing, we can do some things, right? Your body has no interest in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Your tongue wants to use profanity when it wants to. Your body wants to find a fornication partner. Everything about your body is like anti-God.
Yep.
And if you know that, you'll know why Paul said, I die to myself daily. It's like I daily put this body to death. You're going to do what the spirit that's inside of you says, and we're not going to go by our feelings, because that's a teenager. We're not going to go by our flesh, because that's a four-year-old. And we're not going to go by, so we're going to live by the spirit that is controlling this body now.
Amen.
And that's how we have to live. Who walks in the spirit, there is no condemnation. If you do what? Walk in the spirit.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, let's go there.
10 minutes.
Hallelujah. I had a whole lot to talk about today, y'all. And I was like, Lord.
Doing all right.
When you get to Galatians chapter 1, say amen.
Amen.
Now, we are going to go in verse 6. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned or accursed. Okay? Now listen. It says, if I or even an angel should come to you and give you another gospel other than the one that has already been preached, let that person be eternally condemned. Okay? Because remember, Muhammad, an angel came to him and told him to start a new religion. Okay? So, the guy that started Mormonism, he said, oh, an angel came to him and told him to, and gave him these golden plaques and told him to start a new religion, right? So, the original Bible wants you to know that even if I or an angel should come to you giving you something that's brand new, and they're saying Jesus is not God, and that God didn't come in the flesh and die on your sins, and that salvation is not has not been granted to you because of what he did on the cross. If I teach to you a brand new religion, he said, let that be eternally, that person be eternally cursed, rather angel or human. So it's very dangerous to be deceived, and it's even more dangerous to teach your deception to another person.
Yeah.
Because once I get into this divide thing, what I'm really telling you is that you can live in sin and still go to heaven. And I would be lying to you. That would be placing a stumbling block in front of you, okay? Let's go to, did I read all of that? Let me, because I'm supposed to read all of that. I'm trying to be obedient. Okay, which is really not, verse 8. But even if I or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one which is preached, let him be eternally condemned. As we have all said, so now I say again, if anyone preach to you a gospel other than the one you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Praise God. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Yeah. communicate. Okay. I want to know if this is simple to you guys, because I want it to be simple, but you tell me if it is simple enough. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. So that means you already believed, and then the person said, but I'm going to deliberately keep on sinning. He says, if you do this, there's no sacrifice for sin left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? It's an insult. It's an insult to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming to my life. Thank you. And then, now, it's not an insult to say, man, I fell into sin. Because you know what? I run to 1 John 1:9. Said, if you confess your sins, he is just and faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all righteousness. I have that ability to do that. You know why? Because I'm a son of God. I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That means if I sin, I can repent. They're talking to yesterday on the show, and they say, I can't believe these pastors got people out repenting for every sin they make. All that is a waste. Because, you know, he's already died for those sins, past, present, and future. So what's all this? You got to repent. Repentance is for non-believers, not for Christians. I'm sitting there like this. What? 87,000, over 87,000 subscribers. So I know what you should know is that you're still in a battle. You got to still stay in your word. You're still in a battle because, you know, Islam looked beautiful to me because first time I went, oh my God, all these black people, they got bow ties on and all the ladies are covered. And, you know, they look so humble, and this looks like this must be it. Satan like, yep, this is it. And I realized nobody was reading that book except me. Because I would have questions and people wouldn't know. I was like, man, I'm the only one reading this thing. I'm reading that Abraham took his son Ishmael to Mount Moriah. Ishmael? I was like, wait a minute. The Bible says he took Isaac. I asked the question. Well, you know, I haven't read that portion. So that means they're just in a religion that they haven't read, that they have no knowledge of, but they're just following. And if you're in Christianity and you have no knowledge of what you're in, and you're not reading your Bible, and you're not asking the right questions, you're just in a religion. You understand? Because this is not a religion that God wants. God is only interested in personal relationships with you. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved. So me and you know that we know each other. This is personal. This is getting back to the first religion of mankind. Who is that? Adam and God, just me and you. No church, no nothing, just me and you on a day-to-day basis. That's what God is looking for, okay? And so I want you guys to understand. Here, let me go down and read. Did I read this already? Did I finish reading this? It says, I got to 29. How much more severe? Go down to the last two verses of this. Listen to this. It says, 38 and 39. My righteous one will live by faith. That's emunah, being faithful to God. Righteous ones will live by emunah, faith. If he shrinks back and if those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So we don't shrink back. You understand? We don't shrink back. I'm not going back to the world for what? Okay, why would I go back to the world? If I make a mistake, I'm covered. I can repent and come back. This is a perfect relationship God has set up. He knows I'm not going to be perfect. He didn't die for perfect people. Right. He died for imperfect people. So he already knows that you're going to be imperfect. But he says, my little ones, I would that you not sin. But if anyone does, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is forever standing at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. He's like, God, she didn't really mean that one. Satan got her on that one. And then you asked for forgiveness. He said, my blood's covered that. And then he's taking you through this sanctification process. And it's a beautiful thing because as you make mistakes, like being a five-year-old, you walk and you fall down and you got a scratch. Your mom picks you up. She doesn't go, I'm done with you. You fall down again one more time and you're out of the house. That's not what God does with us. She knows that that baby is going through a sanctification process into adulthood. And so she has to be very patient and kind with that child and understand that this child is growing. God is the same with us. When you get born again, you're in a process reaching toward righteousness and holiness. You may never reach it on earth, but if you stay within the covenant, what's the covenant? If I should sin, I will repent. The guy says it's a waste of time for these people to be repenting, knowing they already been born again. Demon. What's this word here? It says accused, religious ban. Okay. For if we sin willfully, I don't know why I wrote that note. I'm going to leave it alone. Okay. So, this is what the Lord wanted me to say. Grace is a beautiful thing. Okay? Grace means free. You understand? Free, and it's free favor from God. You got free favor from God. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. When I accepted Jesus, I hadn't done one good thing yet. And I was saved the night I got saved. Do you understand? God had me get baptized the same night I got saved. Gave me the Holy Spirit the same night I got saved. I hadn't done one thing good in my life yet. But it was all free. It was now, what are you going to do with what I just gave you? You understand? So grace is free. There is no scripture that says you're saved by grace and grace alone. If you find it, I'll give you $100. But you'll find one that says you're saved by grace through faith, through emunah, not through believing, because he says what? Even demons believe and are fearful. He says the Hebrew word emunah, which means that now you're going to believe, but you're believing so that you can be faithful to the one you believe in, okay? That's what you want, okay? Find a Christian that has no faithfulness toward God, and I'll show you a Christian that's on his way out. Because in any relationship, you want faithful people, okay?
Yeah.
So what we've gone on over today is, first of all, I want you to be educated about Easter. It is an insult to God that the fact that like if it's your birthday, Charles, when's your birthday?
November 13th.
Let's call November 13th Satan Day. I hope you don't mind. But every time it comes around, we'll say, hey, happy Satan Day, right? Wouldn't you just say, hey, wait a minute. And sometimes you go, okay, I'm tired of this. This isn't right, right? We call the day of resurrection that Jesus Christ did this wonderful thing for us, and we go, happy Easter, happy pagan goddess day. Don't you think it's offensive?
No. Yeah.
This is what God says. It's offensive. But Satan has Christians doing it because nobody will educate, because nobody wants to tell people that Easter is wrong.
Right.
So we're trying to, what I want you to do is be students of the Bible. I don't even teach so you'll believe me. I teach so it'll make you study.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say things that I know you don't understand because I think you're going to go back and study it.
Yeah.
Because I want you to study. I want you to know God just like I know God. I know God because I sat down, candlelight dinners, we went over the word, we talked. We talked about some things that wasn't right with me that he didn't like. I don't like your attitude. You get mad too fast. We had conversations. You understand? Because I'm trying to mature. And so in my personal time with God, I'm growing. I'm getting more mature. If you don't have this personal time, then God is a religion.
Right.
Yes.
Husbands, give your wife personal time to read the Bible. They need time. They need time. Like, hey, look, babe, take a couple hours. Just go read the word and to enjoy time by yourself. You know what I mean? Wives, give your husband time to read the Bible, to spend some time with God. It's necessary. We're sitting in the worst situation the world has ever been in. Okay? And God told me to ask you a question. Do you think when coronavirus started that they considered what your plans? Do you think they considered your plans? Like, wait a minute. Some people are planning to go to college. We might not. They didn't even think about your plans. You understand? God says, you tell them the same thing. When the rapture happens, I'm not going to consider your plans. You understand? I'm not going to consider that you meant to do right. I'm not going to consider that you were going to do right. I'm not going to consider it, because at that time, grace will have disappeared and is done. Because grace ends at rapture.
Yeah.
You understand? That's the end of the dispensation of grace. So God wants you to know, he's not going to consider your plans. Does he want you to plan while you're here? Yes. All the plans you want. Plan to buy a house. Plan to go back to school. Plan to get married. I'm doing a wedding next week. I'm planning. I'm glad they're Christian, because if I don't show up, at least they'll know why, right? Be with me. They're like, but if they're not, if they were unbelievers, I'd be like, man, they're going to think I just didn't show up. But we're living in this time where the rapture is so close that you can make plans, but you have to consider the great plan maker.
Yeah.
Who has a plan already, and you're sitting close to the finish line.
Yeah.
And when he decides, I don't care where you at, store, getting your hair done, whatever, is done. Okay? So live like there is a tomorrow. And conduct yourself like there's not.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Because I'm telling you, the rapture, I don't even want to talk about it. That's my favorite subject. But I'm telling you right now, that to me, that's one of the most beautiful ideas that God has ever had. Talking about a blessed hope. You talking about somebody singing and screaming the whole way up. I'm telling you, and get there and start making the eight on the ground, flopping in the clouds. I'm telling you, somebody might have to get me up. This is a blessed hope.
Amen.
And God has put this in our, and then now he's put us in the last times, in these days. Listen to me. What's your name? Right there. You right there. I forgot your name. What's your name? Maria. Maria. God says, what, that thing will never hurt you. He's already covered you. Your life is saved and you're going to be with him.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. You understand?
Amen.
I knew you were coming today.
Amen.
You weren't here when I got here, but I knew you were coming today. And the Lord said, you're completely healed. He says, it's as if the snake bit the apostles and they still walked around.
Yeah.
And you know what they said? They must be gods.
Uh-huh.
He says, you're fully covered.
Yeah.
You're fully covered. Don't worry. That's all I have to say. I don't want to give you the guy's name who's doing this video because I don't need, think you need to go on and watch, but you need to know that there is deception out there.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy our family of believers until we all fly together, okay?
Yeah.
I'm calling aisle seat. All right.
Praise
God. Yeah, that's it.
God's in there.